What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. What's up, everybody? Hope you're doing well. Here we are, Engaging Heaven today, Friday edition. I'm James Levesque. A lot happening. Look, tonight, join me in West Haven, Connecticut for our monthly fire night. Come experience God. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Also, next week, plan now, Seattle area on alert. We're going to be in Bremerton, November 8th through the 11th, and I'm going to be all over Washington State on the 13th through the 17th. So Colville, Washington, all out in that area. So come on, Pacific Northwest, come out, say hello, let us know that you're listening and where you're tuning in from. So exciting. Listen, I want to call this episode, this is a Friday edition, man. What I like to do on Fridays is give you something to meditate on throughout the weekend. Today's, I want to talk about surviving the wilderness. Surviving the wilderness. In the 1960s, for some of you, that seems so far long ago. For some of you, it was like, oh, that was yesterday. In the 1960s, there was a group called the Kingston Trio. And they released a song called Desert Pete. Desert Pete. You can look this up. And the ballad told of a thirsty cowboy who was crossing over the desert and he found a hand pump. Next to it, Desert Pete left a note, urging the reader of the note, don't drink the water left in the jar, please. But it's supposed to be used to prime the pump. The cowboy had a choice. Do I drink this small warm cup of water because I'm thirsty now? Or do I take it and prime the pump and see what happens, right? You don't know what's going to happen. And the cowboy ultimately resisted temptation to drink, and he used the water as the note instructed. And the reward for his obedience, he received an abundance of cold, satisfying water. What he basically did is he acted in faith, because otherwise he would have just had one warm, satisfying jar of water to drink. It reminds me a little bit of our lives. It reminds me a little bit of Israel's journey, right? Through the wilderness. The Bible says in Exodus 17, their thirst became overwhelming. Moses sought the Lord. He was told to strike the rock of Horeb with his staff, and Moses believed and obeyed, and as you know, water gushed from the rock. But the interesting thing is, Israel would not end up following Moses' example of faith, right? There's a cowboy. Do you drink the cup now, or do you believe that you're going to prime the pump? Moses, prime the pump. Cowboy, prime the pump. But chances are you would have just grabbed the cup of water, right? The Israelites ultimately didn't follow Moses' example of faith. And in Hebrews, it basically warns us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the message they heard was one of no value to them, and they did not share the faith of those that had obeyed. Wow. Sometimes life can seem like a desert. But we must understand that God can quench our spiritual thirst in the most unlikely circumstances. I feel like every day you and I are faced with that decision, right? Do we drink the cup or do what God wants us to do, or what the note says, what the Bible says? And we can't just give up our faith for something that is just temporary, right? And I want you to know a couple things today. I want you to know that no matter what you're in, no matter where you're walking in the wilderness, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are in your heart, we have got to obey and have the faith of Jesus, have the faith of those that encourage us and have moved on before us, and not give in to the lies, right? Not give in to the hard seasons you might think you're in, whether you're dry in your heart, whatever wilderness looks like, right? A wilderness doesn't mean you're at the lowest point of your life. It just means it's a little bit dry. And if you're thirsty, do you grab the warm cup or do you prime the pump? And that is life, right? There's two trees in the garden still today. And many of you listening to me, you're dealing with decisions. Do you prime the pump or do you take the cup? And God doesn't want us to take the cup. If anything, it's a temporary satisfaction that's going to end up killing you, really. And that cup, although we don't want to admit it, is sin. We're still on the integrity theme. That cup represents something you shouldn't be touching right now. And so many of us, back to the beginning of this week, when we talked about Harvey Weinstein and all the integrity issues that are going on, so many of us touch the cup. You have no business touching that cup. It's not yours. We cannot look, well, you don't understand, I'm thirsty. Yeah, I know we all are. But there's a place, you don't understand, man, I need affection. I need physical touch. Yeah, well, no, we all do. That's why we're married, right? You don't do those things and you don't touch those things before it's time. It's living in integrity and doing exactly what God is calling us to do. And if we guard our hearts, then we don't fall into that place, right? That is what integrity is. After the break, I'm going to tell you something about that cup of water. Don't drink that cup. I'm going to tell you something about it that is deadly. You're rocking with Engaging Him Today.
Hey everyone, MJ here. Join me on November 11th to see Jason Gray in concert with EHC's very own Sarah Nichols opening the show. Tickets are going quick, so order today to reserve your seat. Only $15 for general admission and $20 for VIP, getting you up close to the action and an exclusive Q&A with Jason before the show. All proceeds will provide families in need with food for their Thanksgiving holiday. For more information and to buy tickets, go to peaceandprovidence.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back, Engaging Heaven Today. We're talking about surviving the wilderness and ultimately making the decisions between right and wrong. Two doors in front of you. One will lead to temporary fulfillment and destruction, and one will lead to everlasting life and freedom. Everything has a cost, right? My wife loves shopping. She really does. My wife, I knew there was an issue. We went to, it was a restaurant in, it was a store in New York City. I think it was called the Purple Skunk or something. And we were dating. I remember we just met each other. Everything was all beautiful and cute. And my wife's like, oh, can I go into this store, you know? And I was like, yeah, of course you can, you know? And I'm not used to shopping with women. And I'm standing around this clothing store and she's like, oh, it's amazing. And I'm all, and then she'd pile up all these clothes in her hand and want to go try them on. And I'm like, great. And let me tell you something. 1 hour passed, 2 hour passed, 3 hours almost passed. And I couldn't believe I was in this tiny little boutique in New York City. And you actually had to wonder, like, can I handle this in life? Am I going to be okay with a woman that can spend hours in a store and I'm like playing on my phone like a dummy? You know what I mean? It's like, dude, what? I'm not sure I can do this. And my wife tried all these things on and she was like, I think I'm all set. What? No. You're going to buy something because you just wasted 3 hours of my life. And I remember getting the car, and it's still like the infatuation phase. You know what I mean? It's still kind of cute, so you're not like, girl, you're nuts, you know? So I'm like, so we get in the car, and I'm like, wow, why did you not want anything, honey? Well, the prices were too high for what I wanted. You couldn't look at that when you first walked in? And my wife, but you know, and so like I knew shopping was an issue. Like it was a passion for her, and it was going to be something I need to learn to tolerate. And over the years, I realized that she loves shopping. It's therapeutic for her. She loves to do it, and she loves me going with her. And I go. I mean, you just deal with it. And I find the guy stuff in all the stores. And typically, in the early days, I would feel like I have to buy something just as my treat for enduring her shopping. And I realized that price is a big deal, right? So the girls, as you know, the girls all get together. I'm talking to Chris. They all get together and go yard sale shopping every Saturday. Well, in the summer here in New England. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure you love it because your $20 can go buy 800 pieces of junk. You know what I mean? But here's the thing with life. Everything has a price tag, right? Everything has a price. There is a price. Listen to me. There's a price for adultery. There's a cost for assault. There's a cost for bitterness. There's a price to pay for unforgiveness. And what happens is we need to take self-evaluation and say, is the price worth it for me? You know, and sin has a price tag. And you know what? There's times you may say, you know what? I know what's going to happen, and I do this, and boom. And it's like, man, that stinks, you know? But then there's time you're like, this not even worth it. The wages of sin are ultimately death. Nothing good comes from taking the cup when you shouldn't, right? We're going back to the analogy at the beginning of the podcast. And you got to realize, like, it's just not, it doesn't add up, right? Emotional affairs, anger, rage, bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy, hurt, attitudes, unchecked, you know, passions. It's like, why? There's no point for it. You can have the cup of warm water now and destroy yourself, or you can have the pump of cold, refreshing water in God's way. And it's like so many things. It's like you can rob a bank, right? Say you need $10,000 and you rob a bank. Well, there's a price to pay for that, right? You'll probably go to prison and be on 48 hours or Dateline. And or if you need $10,000, you can do what most people do, and that's work hard, invest, get educated, and do something with your life. Either way, you're going to get $10,000, right? Either way, in both scenarios, there's 10 grand for each person. One person decided to rob a bank, and now he's spending the rest of his life in jail. And one person got it the right way, paid taxes on his money, and now he has his $10,000 and can do what he needs. Do you see the difference? Everything has a price. I can go whatever. I can meet a guy at a bar or do something I shouldn't be doing or hook up with a guy at a club. Or I can meet a man somewhere healthier, have a husband, and do things the right way in my life. Just because you have desires for things, money, people, help, whatever, doesn't mean they're bad. It's just funneling them in the right place. And so if we are honestly going to live and overcome in every wilderness season and every thought and really walk in integrity, again, the theme of this week, we must make sure that our hearts are guarded and that we are living life of integrity, and we're not just taking the cheap thrill, but we're going for the long haul. And I'm going to pray that this weekend, I'm believing God for you, that every situation that comes in your life, you're going to make the right choice, that you're not going to give in to the lies of the enemy. You're not going to give in to the temptation, no matter what it is. Look, suicide's a temptation. We're not giving in to the lies of the flesh. and we're going to overcome and engage heaven every day in every way. I charge it for you. This will be a weekend of breakthrough, and this will be a weekend of change. Thank you for joining us. We love you. You've been rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Hello, everyone. Rebecca here. We want to thank you for listening to our podcast and making it such a success. As a reminder, please subscribe and review it on iTunes. And for our Android users, download the Podbean app. Let others know how you're being blessed.